Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
1 Thessalonians 4, 1 and 2, and then Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 and 2, and Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to start in 1 Thessalonians. It says in verses 1 and 2, "Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God." Well, that's a pretty good thing to do, right? Urge people to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. This is Paul and the rest of his people that are traveling with him. And he's telling, he had helped plant this church and all this other kind of stuff. And he's trying to encourage them and tell them, hey, hang in there. Live like we've taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. Now, somebody say even more.
Even more.
I could have titled this message "Even More." But then in verse 2 it says, "For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus." And then in Hebrews, flip over to Hebrews chapter 6. And I love this verse. "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again." Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead, and become mature." Somebody say mature.
Mature.
Turn to the person next to you and elbow them and say, "You need to be mature." Some of y'all need to elbow them until they really pay attention to you, okay? I've been around y'all. But we need to be mature in our understanding. Complete in our understanding. Knowing in our understanding, okay? Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. Let's pray. God, let my words be few. Your words be powerful. And let it not be me that people hear, but your heart and your voice. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. If you are taking notes, and I do encourage you to take notes, I haven't said that in a while, but there's statistics, and I don't know them right offhand, but it's pretty low. If you just come to church and you hear the message, you're likely to remember like 10% of it. The moment you start taking notes, it shoots up to, I want to say, around 35 or 40%. And then after you take notes, if you go home and you actually flip through it and study it a little bit more, your retention goes up to around 80 to 90%. I encourage you to take notes. I was not a good note taker in school. That's the reason why I scrambled around and I prayed before every test, "God, please help me remember what I don't know." And God don't work that way. Listen, when you get into a trial, are you going to ask God, "Please help me remember what I don't know so I can get through this?"
Come on now.
I'm starting to meddle already. Are y'all with me today?
Yes.
Listen, if you're taking notes, you can title this, "In the Habit." How many of you have habits? I have habits. I have habits. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them are ugly. As human beings, we are creatures of habit. I like having certain habits in my life, certain things that I do, certain routines. We are creatures of habit. There are things that we have learned to do over the years that have become automatic to us. They become automatic. Now, some of those things can be weird, and some of them can be strange, though. Like, there's some weird habits out there, like chewing your nails. That's a weird habit. It's strange, and it's also nasty. Okay, I've heard the statistics and all that. What about cracking knuckles? Anybody here crack your knuckles a lot? Anybody crack your? Yeah, we've got a few of them. You crack your knuckles, you get into a habit. I've sat in rooms where people would pop their knuckles so loud it sounded like a gunshot going off, and it was like scaring the fool out of everybody in the room. There's others, like, I have this habit. Every time I walk out the door at the house, all of a sudden I start patting my pockets because I know I'm forgetting something. And it's just become a thing. I start patting my pocket. I go, okay, there's my wallet. There's my keys. Where's my other keys? Where's my phone? Where's my coffee? My coffee's not in my pocket. Oh, it's right over here. But there is another strange habit that I have. And I did not realize I had it until much later in life. I count steps as I walk. Anybody do that? Why do we do that? That is so strange. I count steps as I walk, and I don't know why I do it. Now, I'll lose count quite frequently because I also have ADHD, and I'll start counting one, two, hey, a bunny. And then all of a sudden, I forget where I'm at. But it's a weird habit. And also, there's certain people. My daughter's one of these, and there was a girl named Teeny that was this way. They had an odd feeling, and they could not stand for the TV volume to be on an odd number. It can't be on 13. You got to put it on 12 or 14. You can't put it on 13. You can't put it on 11. You got to put it on a certain number. Now, there are people that way. Brother Rodney's back there. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. It's just weird. There's certain times that our TV will do that at the house, and it goes up by twos, and I have no idea why it does that. But sometimes it'll get on an odd number, and it will drive me nuts a little bit. But we've got these habits. Now, good habits are meant to help us. We need some good habits in our life. It's meant to make our life more efficient and to get things done quicker. Psychology Today defines a habit as this. It defines a habit as the process by which behavior becomes automatic. Basically, you're turning on automatic pilot in your life. When you have a habit, it's like turning on the automatic pilot or whatever you want to call it, and you just cruise through life and there ain't no big deal. You automatically things happen. I've done that before, not in good situations, where I used to work a whole lot. Well, not like I don't work now. I promise you, I do come into the office, okay? Please don't fire me. But I used to work a whole lot when I worked at a fast food restaurant. And I would work anywhere from an 8-hour shift over to a 16-hour shift or whatever I needed to do to take care of things. And there were times where I would go on automatic pilot when I went home because I had a 30-35-minute drive home. I had to get on the interstate. And please, teenagers that are in the room, don't do this. Okay, but I would remember getting onto the interstate to drive home, and then I don't remember anything else until I get off the interstate at my exit. I was on automatic pilot. I know we've had some people that have told me that they've been that way. Eric tells me all the time he's so tired that he would get into that automatic pilot mode, and we get into the habit of doing certain things. There's certain things that we would go through. Automatic pilot or cruise control for the brain. Now, bad habits that we pick up can slow us down, make us unhealthy, unpleasant to be around, or just waste our time and waste our money. We are the sum of our habits. Let me say that again, because we need to grasp this in our minds. We are the sum of our habits. Our habits make up who we are. What we learn to do through repetition and our reactions to certain cues or triggers shapes who we are in the physical realm. Now, there's a difference, though, between a habit and a routine. Now, we all have routines, right? I have a routine when I get up. And when I get dressed, a routine is this. Let me make sure I don't jump over this. A routine involves repeated behavior, but it's not because of an ingrained impulse. It's something like a routine is doing the dishes. I've got a routine when I do the dishes. I take care of, if I have to wash all my dishes by hand, I take care of utensils first. I take care of all those utensils, and then I'll move on to cups, and then I'll move on to plates, and then I'll move on to dishes, that kind of stuff. It's routines. Going to the gym is not necessarily a habit, but it's a routine. You have certain things that you do, not because it is an ingrained impulse in you, but because it's a routine that you're in. Taking the same route to work every day, or your morning ritual of getting dressed. Again, I have a certain habit. I put on my socks first. Why? I don't know. It's because it's a whole lot easier to bend over when I ain't got jeans on. But I put my socks on first, then I put on my jeans, then I put on my undershirt, then I put on my overshirt, and then I finish out with my shoes. Shoes are the absolute last thing I put on because I'd hate putting on my shoes. And I put them on, and then I head on out. I've got a routine. Taking a shower, certain people wash certain things in certain times. Most of us have all these routines, but they're not habits because there isn't a reward at the end of it. A habit is when you feel the need to do things. A habit is, I need to eat that powdered donut. Don't laugh at my habits. A need is, I need to get a hug from my wife. I love you, baby. A habit is something that you need. It isn't just a want to, but a have to. Again, it can be good or bad. There's a gentleman by the name of James Clear who wrote a book called Atomic Habits. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. Atomic Habits. He talks about the four stages of habits. And I know this beginning part of this is very clinical and we're going to get to the word in just a minute, but I want you to know this. Four stages of habits. There's the cue, which is the triggers in the brain. It triggers the brain into a behavior. Something happens and it triggers your brain to go, okay, I need to handle this. There's a cue that will happen in your life. Some of us, the cue is, there is like those with obsessive compulsive disorder, a cue is a sock being out of place. And all of a sudden the brain kicks into motion and says, okay, I've got to change this. Something needs to change in this situation. And then there becomes a craving, okay? And that craving is the motivation behind the action that's about to take place, the action that the brain takes. That craving for somebody with obsessive compulsive, that sock's out of place, so that creates a trigger in their brain that says that's got to change, and it creates a craving for a clean house. So they don't just pick up that sock. They start picking up the sock. They start getting underneath the couch. They get underneath everything. And next thing you know, they have turned the entire house upside down, cleaning everything because of the craving that they have for a clean house. That craving then causes the response, like I said, to actually start cleaning all around the house and take care of everything, is the actual action or the thought that comes from the craving. And then the reward is what they're really seeking. Now see, that's the thing that we don't understand, is that when we have a habit, it's not that we crave the doing, we crave the reward at the end. I'm going to pick on something for a minute, and I'm okay with it. Let's talk about smoking for a minute. You know, you're not really craving a cigarette. You're craving the feeling that that cigarette gives you, the reward from it. You're not craving that alcohol itself. You're craving the feeling and the reward that it comes afterwards. You're not craving that pornography. You're craving the endorphins that are released in your brain to take over and to give you the feeling afterwards. If you understand me, say, I do. Is this making any sense today? All y'all are sitting there going, yeah, it makes sense, but when are we going to get to the Word? When are we going to get to the Bible? Right here. Spiritual growth does not just happen.
That's right.
Spiritual growth does not just happen. See, everybody in here, our bodies naturally grow. My hair naturally grows. My fingernails naturally grow. I naturally grow in my body. If I eat too much, what happens? I naturally grow. And I'm just talking about I'm expanding my ministry then. But the thing is, we grow on purpose in our spiritual life. God desires growth in our spiritual lives. Amen? That's what Hebrews 6:1 talks about. So let us stop going over the basic teachings of Christ again and again. Let us go instead and become mature in understanding. Let us mature in our understanding of the Word. In other words, grow up. Stop going over the same things over and over and over. Stop living off of what was yesterday and start moving forward and changing things. 2 Peter 3:18 says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter and Hebrews 5 both speak of newborn babes and baby Christians craving spiritual milk, but that they have to progress spiritually to solid food in order to grow.
That's right.
We've got little Ezra here at the church. Pastor Trevor's little baby. I love that little kid. That is one of the coolest little babies you'll ever meet. He is awesome as he can be. But you know what? There came a time where he was not so awesome, when he was transitioning from milk to solid foods. He's still in the process of transitioning. But I'm telling you, the boy got ill. Any of y'all have a baby that got ill because they couldn't eat? Because they wanted something more? They wanted something stronger, something that would fill them out. And you had to start giving them cereal, or you start giving them little snacks, and they'd have to have something to chew on. That's the way we need to be in our walk with Christ. We can't live on just showing up at church and going through the motions and living off of the milk of the word and expecting someone to spoon feed us all the time.
That's true.
We've got to dig in for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We've got to dig into our own lives and say, you know what? I can't rely on anybody else to help me grow. I need their encouragement, but I need to decide in myself that I'm going to grow. Our spiritual life is in constant state of flux and changes on a regular basis, depending on a number of factors. How we react to external stimuli can determine our spiritual growth. How we react to the situations around it, how you react to someone who cuts you off in traffic, can either stunt or expedite your growth. How you react to someone talking about you behind your back.
Oh, come on now.
How you react to someone who does you wrong, and you've got every right to look at them and blast them and scream and holler and yell and shout and everything else. And how you react will either stunt or expedite your growth.
Wow. Good.
Our growth is impacted by the external stimuli and how we react to it. The problem with many Christians today is that we have a lot of spiritual routines, but we don't have very many habits. We have a lot of spiritual routines in our lives. Our routine in Christian circles, our routine is, well, I only listen to Christian music. Yeah, but do you live out what they talk about? Well, I show up to church. That's my routine is I go to church every Sunday. I go to church every Wednesday. Yeah, but do you need to go to church in order to survive the week? Do you realize how much you need God? Well, I read my Bible every single day. Yeah, but do you study it and do you apply it? Do you need it to survive in this world? See, a lot of us, we go through the routine and just the natural thing of, I'm just going to do this, get it over with. We read our Bible, get it over with. We pray, we get it over with. We go to church, we get it over with. And the entire time we're sitting at church, instead of hearing the pastor preach and hearing what's going on. Now, I'm not saying you guys do this, because I know y'all are awesome. Y'all are great. But there's some people that are sitting there the entire time the pastor's talking about routines, or the pastor's talking about habits. They're sitting there going, my habit is going to Mexican. And I'm going to go get me some tacos after service. Or I'm going to go to this restaurant. Or I've got to go home and cut grass. And you're not really needing the presence of God, because you just show up because it's a routine.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yep.
Does it make sense?
Yep.
Do I still have a job?
Yep.
Okay. See, we sit there and we say, we've got these routines. My routine, I go to church. I do this. I do that. Yeah, you know what? The Pharisees had routines too, but they didn't know Jesus.
Oh, come on now.
The Pharisees showed up at the synagogue every time the doors were open. The Pharisees tithed 10% of everything, including the spices in their lives. But yet they did not know God. They knew about Him because of their routine, the requirement. But they didn't see a need in their life for Him. We need to get to the point where we need God, where we need the habit of being in His presence, where we need the habit of studying His Word. The goal for today is to present to you four spiritual habits that would cause spiritual growth in your life. How many of you need growth in your life? I need to grow. And I'm not talking about just height-wise. I know I'm short, but that's okay. That ship has sailed, and I'm done. But I need to grow in my spiritual life. It doesn't matter how old you get, how young you are. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with God. Every person has another step and another growth spurt,
yes,
waiting for them in the spiritual realm.
That's right.
We need to grow spiritually. I want to share with you four spiritual habits that are going to help you with the growth, with your growth. There are many more than these four, and I'm going to admit to you that these are not original to me. Okay, I've done study, and I actually pulled these actual steps from somebody else, but they're important enough for me to think that I think we need to share this today. If you're with me, say I am. It's sort of like you should never be standing still in your spiritual walk. Any of y'all ever been to Disney World or to an airport? Airports really have these. Airports, you know the walkways, the moving walkways? Some of us get a little scared of those things. But our life is like a moving walkway, but it's moving in an opposite direction because the world is trying to pull us in one direction. Imagine that there's a walkway trying to push me this way, but I'm walking this way. Okay? What's going to happen if I stop walking? I'm going to start going backwards. That's the same way with our spiritual walk with God. If we ever stand, if we ever say, I'm just going to rest here for a while and not try to move any further closer to God, we are going to I'm going to plant my feet right here. All of a sudden, the world will pull us back to where we used to be. Some of y'all may be sitting there going, but I'm tired. I understand you being tired. You ain't got to run the entire time, but you do need to take a step and move forward in everything that you do. If you're with me, say I am. Are you ready to hear about these four spiritual habits?
Yes.
Four spiritual habits. The first one is this, the habit of reading the Bible daily. Everybody's going, well, Pastor Aaron, this is like simple stuff. Yeah, but it's the simple stuff that often gets overlooked. Reading your Bible daily. It is the simple things that get neglected the most. It's so easy to forget about the little things, but it is usually the little things that are the most important. Right?
Yes.
You don't believe me? Go outside and try to start your car without your keys. It's a little thing. Doesn't do much, but fit into a little slot. Some of us, we don't even have to do that. We just got to have it inside the car and you hit a button. That amazes me. But you go in, but without that key, you cannot go forward. Without that key, see, that'll preach right there. Yet without the key to start the engine, without the key to open the door, without the key to get involved with all the mechanisms on the inside, you cannot reach the destination that you desire to make it to. Listen to me. Without the small keys in our spiritual life, we will not reach the destination that God has for us and the destiny that he has planned out for us. So we've got to pay attention to the small details, the small keys. And the first key is reading the Bible daily. Again, the small things matter. You can do big things right and forget one little thing and the entire thing could blow up in your face. There's a quick story I want to tell you about me and fireworks. I love fireworks. I like fire. Anybody else in here like fire? You like fireworks? Okay. My fellow fire bugs, we'll have an intervention meeting this 4th of July. But I used to sell fireworks to raise money for my youth group. I sold fireworks for about 15, 17 years, somewhere around there. And I knew what was going on. I did shows for people. I had a blast with it, and pun completely intended right there. But I had a great time doing it, and we would go, and I would do shows at different places. I was doing a show for our church one night. And anybody ever shot some of those mortar shells out of the tubes? Those are fun. They're loud, but they're fun. But I was sitting there, and I was going through, and I was lighting them, and I was lighting them, and I would take them, and I would drop one in, light it, take it one, drop one in, light it, take one, drop one in, light it. I got out of sequence one night, or one time while we were doing it, and I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, and I was just going through the routine, and I forgot the little thing. I forgot one small detail about that mortar shell. I reached down and I lit that fuse, and then I realized I'm holding the fuse in my hand and the mortar shell's hanging right here. I don't have it in the tube. And I go to drop it in the tube and I miss. I missed by like half a centimeter, and it falls over. I turn around and look at my guys. I've got about six guys lighting fuses with me, and I turn around and go, run! And we take off running. That thing blows up, and sparks go all around me. We set the grass on fire. My pastor's up there going, are y'all okay? You're fired! No, he didn't say that. But I missed one small detail, and the entire thing blew up. If we miss the detail of reading the Word of God, we will miss out on the instructions that He gives us. The small things. Getting into the habit of reading God's Word daily will stimulate growth in our spiritual lives. The Word of God is what everything we believe is based on. It is the truth. It is holy. It is righteous. It is exactly what we need. Within the pages of the Bible are the keys to growing and living in Christ. If you're with me, say, I am. We need a firm foundation of what truth is, not what we think it is. The world right now tells us, your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. You believe how you want to believe. I believe how I want to believe. Well, if that's the case, I could believe I'm a cat. And nobody could tell me any different. I could believe that I'm an airplane pilot. I could believe that I'm an altar. But it doesn't make it real. It doesn't give me truth. There needs to be a sure foundation of what truth is. In John 8, 31 and 32, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are my true disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Another word for that, or another phrase for that, if you pay attention to what I'm telling you. Inside of the Word, I don't have my physical Bible up here, but inside my app right here, I've got the entire Bible, probably in about 50 different translations. And if I don't pay attention to the Word of God that is inside of those things, then I am not a true disciple of God. Verse 32 says, and you will know the truth. How will we know the truth? If we pay attention to his teachings. No other way. Not if we pay attention to what they say on TV. Not if we pay attention to what Disney's telling us. Not if we pay attention to what this company's telling us. Not if we pay attention to what our boss tells us, or what the schools tell us. Not if we pay attention to what our coaches tell us or our teachers tell us. We know the truth if we know his word. Are you with me? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is what sets us free, not our opinion or public perception.
That's right.
Just because you believe it, don't make it truth. I can believe that I am the most handsome, best in the world, speaker in the world. I can believe I'm the most talented man on the face of the earth. That Steve is second. It doesn't mean it's true. I've got to take God's word and apply it to my life to know what the truth is. And how am I going to know God's word if I don't study his word? If I don't study it, if I don't spend time with it? Even in our churches and listening to pastors, we have to be careful studying the word today. There are pastors that they don't know the word, or they misinterpret the word. They take it out of context. I've seen so many different pastors that do this, and they fit the word to fit their beliefs. I'm not going to say names because I don't believe in that. You probably could name some of them. I'm not going to go there. It is the foundation. It is the foundation of the word that gives our faith strength to stand and grow. The word of God is a love letter and instructions on how to live and how to grow in faith. 2 Timothy 3:16 simply says this right here. All scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true. Everybody say true. Teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. We need correction. That's why, and listen, some people cannot take correction. You ever tried to correct somebody who knew it all? All right, don't point at somebody. Please don't. Okay, but that's why I love Proverbs 12:1. It says, "He who hates correction is stupid."
That's right.
Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Bible says you're stupid now. No, I wouldn't do that to somebody. But I love that verse. That was one of the first verses I learned because I knew I had a problem with correction. I didn't like people telling me what to do. So I had to learn that. I studied that. I got it deep inside of my heart, and I wanted to make sure that I was okay. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires." The word of God exposes us for who we are, not who we think we are. We can think all day long, "I'm good. I'm good in my life. I've got good stuff going on. I don't have any mistakes. I don't have any problems. I don't have any bad habits. I don't have any sin." But the moment we open that word of God, it is a reflection of who He is. And by seeing a reflection of who He is, it shows us how we fall short.
Yeah, that's
right. Like it says in Romans, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There ain't nobody perfect. We've all made mistakes. We all need to be corrected. Learn to need the word in your life, not just to read it aloud or read it out of routine. Develop the habit of turning to the word. See, that's the issue, is that when we hit cues in our life, a tragedy befalls us. A loved one passes away. Or a financial situation comes up that completely blows up. We start looking to other places for comfort. The cue causes us to all of a sudden have anxiety about the situation, or have a depression about the situation, and we turn to something other than God's word. But if we let that cue push us towards His word first, yeah, it will help us grow and help us to learn from that situation. If you're with me, say, "I am."
Yeah.
Is this making any sense today?
Yeah.
I know it's a little more clinical today, but I think we need it. Learn the habit of being in the word of God, but also learn the habit of talking to God daily. Talking to God daily. Relationships grow through conversations. I talk with Amy every single day. Sometimes it's shorter conversations, sometimes it's longer. But we have conversations. Usually when you're getting to know somebody, if in the early stages of dating, were any of y'all like this? Somebody say, "Hey, are you and Amy dating, or you and this person dating?" "Oh, we're just what?
Talking.
Why are you talking?" Because you're growing a relationship. Conversations help you grow in a relationship.
That's right.
If you don't have conversations with somebody, you can't grow to know them, and can't grow to love them, and can't grow to appreciate them. If you don't have that conversation, see, Amy and I, we dated for 3 years, 3.5 years, somewhere around there. But we talked every day, basically, on the phone. And it was not when it was easy to talk on the phone. Can I just say that? It's back when you had to pay long distance charges. Because she lived in Dothan, I lived in Birmingham. And it was back, listen, for those of you that are 30 years old and younger, let me tell you about something called a landline. Had a wire that came out of the actual wall onto this phone. And if you had a cool parent, they wouldn't just leave that small little cord on there. You'd have this cord that was like 16 miles long. That would stretch all the way to the other end of the house and back. And you'd sit there and you'd wrap it around your leg while you're talking. Sit there and do jump rope and all this other kind of stuff. And you had all this. That's the kind of phone we had. Now, see, my parents were even cooler. You know why? Because they had the landline, but it was a wireless phone. Man, I had that. The thing was about this long, and it was about that wide, and it had an antenna on it that was about like 6 feet long that would scrape the ceiling as I walked through the room. And I would sit there and talk on her, and we would talk so much. I know I'm exaggerating. Please forgive me. But we would talk so much. She got a phone bill one time from her dad. It was like $300. And back then, $300 was a lot of money. Okay? I'm not exactly young at times. But we spent a lot of time on the phone. There were plenty of times where we fell asleep talking on the phone. Anybody remember doing that when you were younger? Okay, we got a couple of us that are sad. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. But we would fall asleep. I remember falling asleep one night on the phone, and I felt something hit my face. And I look up, and I don't see anything. I'm laying on the couch, and I look down on my chest, and there's a spider about this big around that had fell off the ceiling. That's why, to this day, if I get around a spider, that spider is dead. But we didn't just talk to each other out of routine. I needed to talk to her. She needed to talk to me. There was something driving us towards each other. God desires conversation with you every single day.
Yes.
Do you need a conversation with God every day?
Yeah.
When you wake up, do you go, man, I got to talk to God. I got to spend some time with Him. God desires to speak with us every day. The desire of the Father is to hear from His children. God hangs on every word that you are speaking. He is waiting for you to speak. He is waiting on you to ask Him questions. A good father would jump at the chance on a conversation with their child. Listen, there are some days where me and my son or me and my daughter, we would sit there and we would carry on conversation after conversation after conversation. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my teenager's talking to me. The Lord is coming back, y'all. But there are other days where they barely say a word. I ask them, how was school? Good. What'd you do? Nothing. And that's all I hear from them. But when they want to have a conversation, I take time out and spend time with them and talk with them as much as I can, because I know that that's rare. It's something I desire. Any good father would do that. God loves you enough to lean in and listen to everything you have to say today. You may feel like He doesn't hear you, but 1 John 5:14 says, and we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. John 15:7-8 says, but you remain in Me and My words remain in you. You may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are My true disciples. This brings great glory to My Father. If we remain in conversation with Him, He will give us the desires of our heart. Learn to need to talk to God regularly. Whatever the situation and whatever the circumstance, God is waiting for you to call on Him so that He can help. Some of us sitting there go, well, it's not that big of a deal. I don't have to pray about it. Why not?
Yeah, come on.
Because the Bible says to bring everything before God.
Yes.
Bring everything to Him. Whatever the situation, bring it to Him. This doesn't mean that God will change the situation, but it will. But what He will do is He will talk you through it and help you grow through it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that He's going to automatically heal you the moment that you say anything. But He will speak with you and walk with you and talk with you and give you the strength to walk through the valley that you're walking through at that moment. Yeah. It's not to say that He's going to take away that craving that you have for that sin or that situation or that bad habit. But what it does say is that He's going to have a conversation with you and He's going to teach you how to eventually let go of it. Are you with me?
Yes.
As we talk with God, our faith, our fruit, and our relationship with Him is going to grow. I love what the Word says in Daniel 6 when the king passed the law. The king passed the law saying that no one can worship any gods, and they can worship no one except for Him for 30 days. And I love what it says in Daniel chapter 6 when Daniel found out about that in verse 10. It says this, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual. See, I almost titled this today, As Usual. when it comes to speaking to God, do people look at you and go, well, he's talking to God as usual. He's reading his word as usual. She's spending time with God again as usual. We need to become as usual people. We need to become habit-formed Christians that need to be in his presence. Are you there? We need to grow. When trouble and adversity come knocking on your life, have the habit of going to God. In that verse, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read that verse again. It says, as usual, in his upstairs room, with its windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. He did not let an external circumstance change his habit of spending time with God. Too many of us let external circumstances change our habits of spending time with Jesus. We need to spend time praying every day. The habit of praying daily. These other two are going to go quick, so I'm going to jump on it real quick. The next one is the habit of tithing and giving regularly. Okay? And right now, everybody just sort of tightened up. Oh, he's talking about money again. I don't do this very often. And there's a reason. Because I trust God. I believe that we need to learn how to tithe properly. I believe we need to learn how to give properly. How does tithing and giving help me grow? Whenever you are obedient to anything the Word says, you grow.
That's right.
Whenever you're disobedient to what the Word says, you are hindered. Tithing reminds us when we give, it reminds us that the whole amount really belongs to God, not just the first 10%. It's acknowledging that what all that we have comes from God. Romans 11:36 says, for everything comes from him. Everything. What does that word mean, everything? Let me tell you, it's a very deep and spiritual meaning. It means everything. Everything in your pantry, everything in your closet, everything in your garage, everything in your house, everything in your truck. If you're like me, you live out of your truck some days or your car. Everything inside of those. All of that, everything in your banking account, all of that belongs to God. He just asks us to trust him with 10%. And I can guarantee you, he can do more with 10% than we can do with the 90. I promise you, the moment you obey his word and start giving, again, Romans 8 or 11:36, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. Don't tighten up just because we started talking about money a little bit. Rick Warren, I love what he says about this. Rick Warren says this, if God isn't the Lord of our possessions, he isn't the Lord of us. If God asked you for something, would you be willing to give it? If you can't trust him with everything you've got, then you don't trust him with anything. Learning to tithe helps people hold what they have loosely and put God first in their lives. Learn to give regularly. And your faith will grow because you will have to rely on him more. Not only that, but you will see evidence by giving that he will prove himself faithful. I mean, his word does say that. Test me in this. Malachi 3:10. Test me in this. Test me. And I will bless you in a way that you can't contain what you have in your storehouses. Right now, a lot of us, we have closets that are overflowing, shoes spilling out into the hallway or into the bedroom. Our garages are stuffed with furniture and fishing poles and guns and whatever else that we've got. Our makeup bags have makeup that is spilling out all over the place. God is already blessing you. When we test him, he will prove himself faithful. And when he proves himself faithful, we will trust him more. And when we trust him more, he will prove himself faithful again. And when he proves himself faithful, we will trust him even more and more. It's over and over and over and over and over. But the thing is, we've got to take the first step and actually form the habit of giving to him what already belongs to him. Form the habit of giving tithe and offering. But also form the habit of fellowshipping regularly. Now notice I did not say show up at church. Showing up at church and fellowshipping are two different things. People can show up at church all day long and never create a relationship in their life. Going to church doesn't prove anything except you know how to drive a car or ride in somebody's car and know where the building is. That's all it proves. Just because I drive to the airport doesn't prove that I know how to fly a plane. Just because I drive to a restaurant doesn't mean that I know how to be a chef. Just because I go and I sit in a hospital doesn't mean that I can do brain surgery. Please, I guarantee you, you don't want me doing no kind of surgery. You don't want me taking a splinter out of your finger, okay? It proves absolutely nothing. We need other Christians in our lives that help us grow. We need. See, again, the routine of showing up at church just shows you know where you're at, that you know where the building's at. But the fact that you go, you know what, I need to be around someone that encourages me. I need to be around someone that lifts me up. I need to be around someone that is going to ask me how I'm doing spiritually and that's going to challenge me. I need to sit under a pastor that says the word and says the truth no matter what happens. I need to sit around people that are growing in God and that are worshiping God. I need to be around someone who challenges me in my own worship because I may not feel like worshiping that day, but they're worshiping and they're going to encourage me and I might lift my hands. I need that. Some of you come in here every single week and you need that encouragement. But some of us come in here and we need to be the encouragement. Sometimes we need to understand it's not all about us. I'm going to get off on a tangent if I'm not careful. Engage with people, the people of God, and become a part of the body. That's why we have you go and shake hands. I know it's awkward. I know it's weird. You're walking, hey, how you doing? Hey. Especially when you're walking up to somebody that you've never met before. We, as the people of God, need to be welcoming enough that we make people feel comfortable in his presence. When we show them the love of God, it opens doors to impact their lives. Significant relationships don't develop when people just attend corporate worship. That's why I like the fact that Amy and I were invited over to Brad and Claire's house here pretty soon. We've been trying to do it for a little while, and we just haven't been able to go back over there. That's the reason why I go out to eat with Steve and Wanda some and go out to eat with other people. It's because I want to build a relationship not behind a pulpit, but sitting over a table, playing a game, cracking jokes, sitting on the deck, watching a fire, blowing up fireworks. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Every person in this room, I believe that you're already doing what God has called you to do, and you're already reaching lives. I'm not saying these habits because I don't think we're doing it. I'm saying these habits because we need a reminder. It's something I read, and this is my last thing. And I'll tell you what, stand with me, if you would. And I'm going to tell you one last thing. We as human beings, we're concerned with the speed of growth. I ain't going to lie, I'm ready to see this place busting at the seams with people. I'm ready to see God move and healings happen. I'm ready to see the power of God move in such a way that we see drug addicts charge the altars during worship. I'm ready to see God move. But sometimes fast growth can be detrimental. My question for you is this. Okay? You want to be a mushroom or an oak tree? Everybody's going, huh? A mushroom can grow to full mature size in 6 hours. But that same mushroom is very easily kicked over or squashed or picked. An oak tree takes 60 years to mature, to complete maturation. 60 years. It takes a long time. But you try to move it once it's mature. That's why I love that song, as the deer, or like a tree planted by the water. I'm trying to remember the whole thing. It's been a while, y'all. This is what you get when you hang out with teenagers all weekend. Your brain don't work right. But like a tree planted by the waters, it would dig in. I want to be an oak tree, y'all. I want my foundation to be so solid. My foundation is found in my habits. We are the sum of our habits. Your Christian walk is the sum of your habits in the spiritual realm. If you find yourself being blown from side to side and find yourself being tossed around in the waves and the wind, and you find yourself jumping from this subject to that subject and this belief to that belief, then you need to take a look at your spiritual habits, because it means that you don't have a firm foundation yet. I've been praying about my summer sermon series that I do every single year, and in June we're going to start one, and it's going to deal with the foundations of spiritual formation and spiritual growth. It's going to deal with the roots of who we are, not just the fruit. Because when the roots are healthy, the fruit is healthy. We can have fruit at this church, and you can have fruit in your life all day long, but if your roots are not healthy, the fruit will not last and will not be pleasing to the eye nor to the taste. Take care of your roots, and the fruit will last. If you're with me, say, I am. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every person in this room. I know I've gone a little longer today, Lord, but at the same time, I know that you have wanted every word to be spoken. You have put us here for such a time as this. God, I know that for some people this might seem very, very elementary and very, very simple. But there are other people in this room, God, that this is revelation to them, that they need to start forming spiritual habits that are going to cause growth inside of them, and not deal with the bad habits of running to other things in order to find their reward, but to run to you. When the cues happen, Lord, give them a craving for your word on the subject. When that craving comes, let them take the action of opening your word and calling on your name and spending time in your presence with other people that are followers of you, and learning to have faith in you in order to grow.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you are.